Now to the story of a long, sort of lost bit of Australian publishing history. In the 1960s, independent magazine Oz became a cause célèbre when its editors were charged in the UK and Australia with obscenity. Oz magazine was founded by Richards, Neville and Walsh and Martin Sharp. But for many years, Richard Walsh's collection of original Oz magazines was missing something, a copy of edition number 4. That 60-year-odd gap was plugged recently as a result of the astuteness and generosity of our next guest. Jill Bowen read about Richard Walsh's lack of Oz number 4 in a very different Oz, the Australian newspaper, and it just so happened that she had a copy. Jill Bowen, welcome to Sunday Extra.
Thank you so much.
Now, Jill, what is a respectable lady like yourself doing with a set of Oz magazines in her possession?
Well, I have... I think there were 41 issues in Australia all up, and I have 21 of them. I used to buy them on the way going to work. I'd get a bus from Balgala to Wynyard, then hop onto another bus to take me out to Broadway, where I worked as a journalist at the Sydney Morning Herald. And regularly, when the Oz came out, there'd be people selling it around Wynyard somewhere. That's where I picked it up. 1 shilling and threepence, I think. It wasn't dear, but it was cheeky, irreverent, taking pot shots at all sorts of people, high society, businessmen and women, sports people, and I loved it. So I bought it whenever I could and kept it. Yeah.
Fantastic. So from what you've said, it was being sold sort of hand to hand. Do you know who you bought it from?
No, I don't. Richard Walsh and Richard Neville may have sold it from time to time, but I don't recall buying it from them. They did have friends, university friends, who helped them out, and probably one of them, yes.
And so you've got almost a majority of the Australian editions of Oz. Where have they been sitting for the last few decades, Jill?
On the shelf and the top of my wardrobe. And, there was a time when I thought another magazine might have come along similar to Oz, and indeed it was instigated by one of your colleagues at the ABC, Steve Kinnane and his mates. And towards the end of the 1990s, I think they bought out a magazine called Struth.
Yes, and, I remember it.
Right. Well, I think that ran for a couple of years and I thought, oh, this looks like Oz, another version of Oz coming back to life again. But it only lasted a couple of years and I'm sorry about that because there was some very bright writing in there and Steve Kinnane did a jolly good job. So, yeah, I don't know where he is now. He's disappeared from view.
Well, gone on to much greater things at the ABC. But good to be mentioning Struth as well, part of Australia's long history of short histories of newspapers and publications like that.
Yes.
So how did you hear about Richard Walsh's missing number 4, Jill?
Well, I read about it. Helen Trinker had a story in The Oz saying that Richard was one short. And I thought, how, as editor or one of the main chaps at Oz, how could you not have a copy of every issue? I was puzzled because probably that's the first thing you would do, just get one for yourself, your own collection. But
yeah, apparently edition number 4 was actually quite a limited run. Do we know why that is?
He went on to explain that to me, that I think the first issue, after the first issue, they had been in trouble with the police, they'd been charged. And Richard Walsh was a medical student at the University of Sydney. And if he had have gone to court and got into trouble and had a black mark against his name, he never could have proceeded as a doctor. So he toned down the magazine a bit. The boys toned them down a bit, a few issues after issue number 1. And also the printer. They had a printer up along the North Shore, I think, at Hornsby, and whether he was going to cop it as well, and he decided that he wouldn't print it anymore. So at the last moment, they found a printer elsewhere who would only do a very small run. So number 4 just didn't have the circulation that the others had had.
And what's on the cover of edition number 4 of Oz magazine, Jill?
the picture of a London bobby whispering in the ear of a British parliamentarian, John Profumo, who was in trouble with a sex scandal, and the bobby saying to him, "Psst, would you like to meet my sister?" I think Richard Walsh said it wasn't one of the best copies of the magazine they'd ever put out. But anyway, that was on the cover. It was current at the time, and he lost his job, Profumo, and was all caught up in the Christine Keeler sex affair and Mandy Rice Davies. So the boys made a feature out of that.
So when you heard that Richard Walsh was missing number four, obviously you dusted off the collection in your cupboard and found that you had one. What did you do then, Jill?
Well, I thought it's been sitting here for 60 years and I've done nothing with it. And I thought I'll get in contact. And I didn't really know how to contact Richard Walsh, but I'd been told, I think, that he was associated with Allen & Unwin, the publishing company. So I left a message there, could Richard Walsh ring me? And he did. And we took it from there.
I'm interested to know how exactly you did take it, because I understand that edition number four, because of its rarity, has in some cases fetched as high a price as $700 for a copy of the edition. But it seems, Jill, you didn't drive quite that hard a bargain.
We met in town. I took the copy in with me to Richard. He gave me a check and said he was prepared to pay market value. And I'm not well off by any means, but the money wasn't important. The important thing for me was it was going home to its creator and not just to any random collector. It was going back to someone who'd put effort into it, started it, kept it going. So I was glad. That was the joy for me.
Well, good on you for doing that, Jill. Are you willing to disclose what number Richard was willing to write on that check?
No, I won't. I don't know whether he want me to say that. It's still here. And I haven't banked it, no.
Well, good on you. And I understand, Jill, that it wasn't only as a reader that you were involved with Oz. Could you tell us about your other connections with the magazine and its editors?
The 1960s were a great time, I think, to be a journalist in Sydney. We had two afternoon papers, two morning papers, heaps of journalists everywhere, and colleagues at the Sydney Morning Herald and I decided to put on a press ball at the old Chevron Hilton Hotel in Macleay Street at Potts Point. Fancy dress, and papers and magazines all bought tickets for a great big night, the first one, and I thought, I'll see if the Oz people want to go along. So I tracked them down in their office in Hunter Street, flogged off some tickets and left it at that. And Richard Walsh arrived with an entourage. He was decked out as the Queen and some of the other, Richard Neville, I think, was Prince Charles. Anyway, they were all members of the royal family and they got out of their car at the top of William Street and walked through Darlinghurst Road and down Macleay Street to the Chevron Hilton. Jeers and cheers and yahoos and hoots. Everybody, it was such a big, they drew a lot of applause making their way to the press ball, yes.
Oh, well, that's fantastic. And it's absolutely superb to hear about the press ball at the Chevron Hilton in the Cross and also about your very, very generous contribution to restoring the archive of Richard Walsh. Jill, thank you so much for speaking with us. You did mention that you were working as a journalist. I wonder if you could tell us a little bit more about that and the much more reputable publications than Oz Magazine that you went on to work for.
I was at the Herald for nearly a decade, and when Ita Buttrow started Clio, I wrote for that. And then when Ita moved to the Women's Weekly, she asked me to join her, and I moved across to the Weekly, to Packer Palace, and was there for a number of years. I later wrote for The Bulletin, then Books, and in spare time, R.M. Williams asked me to become one of the directors building the Stockman's Hall of Fame, a national memorial to the Outback Pioneers out in Longreach, Queensland. So I joined Reg and a few others. Ken Cowley, the head of News Limited, was the chairman at one stage. Dame Mary Durack was part of it. RM, Hugh Sorey, the artist, Anyway, we got the job done. The Queen came and opened it in 1988. So various things have kept me busy over the years, yes.
Well, from that potted history of your journalism and other career, Jill, I've got to say I think there could be a few more items of Australian publishing and other history in your cupboard. May well be worth checking some of the other corners, regardless of their street value. But thank you so much for speaking with us about Oz Magazine edition number 4 and your contribution to Richard Walsh's collection.
Thank you, Julian. Thank you indeed. Bye-bye.
That's Jill Bowen, journalist extraordinaire, and the person who, as we've heard, gave Richard Walsh the long-lost copy of Oz Magazine edition number 4 that had been in her cupboard for 6 decades.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.